Hello, hola, welcome, bienvenidos. Do you have a memory or memories of the preacher preaching fire and brimstone and repent before the kingdom of the Lord is at hand? If any of that sounds familiar, then you are definitely going to want to stay and listen to the rest of this episode. I am your sex-positive, faith-based, sacred rebel, speaker, writer, meditation guide, energy healer, and host, Lucilenia, and this is episode 39 of the Radiant Sessions podcast. So let's get into it. I've been thinking about repentance the last week and what I was taught growing up about repentance. Even now, hearing pastors, preachers talking about how we need to repent and continue to repent for our sins, da 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 da, and the like. And generally speaking, what I've been taught and what I assume most of you have been taught about repentance is being sorry and not doing that thing, that sin anymore, and regretting our actions so we can be in right standing with God and all that. And that's not necessarily wrong, but I do believe that it doesn't provide a full picture of what repentance truly is or truly should be. So, of course, you know me, I'm going to do my due diligence and go back to the Bible and do some research on, okay, well, what is the original words that repentance came from in the Hebrew and Greek? Because we know that the Bible was originally written in those two languages. So we can really start to understand the intent of when the Bible talks about repentance so that we can be in alignment with what God is saying for our lives. So, when I looked it up, there are actually several definitions that come up for what the word repent means in Hebrew, and I will touch on a few definitions such as regret, to feel remorse, to change one's mind, to have compassion, be consoled, to grieve, to back down, to back up, to take back, to return, to revert, to go back. Reading those definitions definitely confirmed what I sensed in my spirit, in that repentance is more than just feeling guilt or regret. And quite frankly, remembering how it was taught, it was almost as if we're supposed to feel those feelings of guilt and regret, and those things are supposed to be powerful enough to get us to stop doing the sin, stop committing the sin. One of the definitions that I want to highlight is the Hebrew word teshuva. T-E-S-H-U-V-A, teshuva. And it is derived from the verb to return. It really takes on a completely different focus when I think of returning to something versus regretting something. Now, regret, in my opinion, has its place. Regret is that feeling that we feel when we look back on something we did or maybe something we didn't do, and we wish that we could have done something differently, or that we would have done something differently, possibly because now we have new information that we didn't have, or maybe even at the time we didn't even know that we were doing something wrong, or that we should have been doing something that we didn't do. Consider if you've ever lost someone close to you and they pass and you regret not spending more time with them. Maybe they weren't ill. Maybe they were and you thought they were going to get better. And so now the opportunity to spend time with them in the physical is gone and you regret not doing so now that you have the information that you have that you may not have had or likely didn't have the context or the information while they were still alive. Or you regret cutting your hair or, you know, whatever the case might be. Those, it can be trivial. It can be something very profound, especially in dealing with grief. It's truly an expression of grief, and not just grief of losing someone. That's not, you know, grief is more than just related to death. In the last few weeks, especially, I've been really dealing with my grief surrounded by my recent ADHD diagnosis. And with that, a lot of regret. Mind you, I had no idea that I had ADHD. It never even crossed my mind. It was not something that I had any kind of awareness of until this year. But I can look back at situations and circumstances and relationships and still feel that regret that, oh, if I would have known, I would have done this differently. I would have said that differently. I would have thought about that differently. And allowing myself to feel that, to experience that now, because it's important to feel the feelings as we've been talking about and to grieve. But more importantly, I believe that regret is powerful in the sense that we're able to look back and say, I would have done things differently. Not because we can go back, but because we can now do different things and make different choices because now we have information that we did not have then, which leads me back to teshuva. Teshuva meaning that repentance isn't just something that we do. It's a state of mind. It's a decision. It is a turning away. And how do we do that? What does that really truly mean? It isn't just saying, sorry, God, that I committed this sin. I promise I won't do it again. And then not doing it again. Or likely, like a lot of us, most of us, all of us doing it again. In my opinion, that outlook on repentance that we see even in adulthood is very childish. Like that's what you expect from a child. Okay, mom. Okay, dad. I'm sorry that I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry that I didn't listen to you. I won't do it again. But they truly don't have an understanding of why their choices are negatively impacting them. They just don't want to do it again or saying they're not going to do it again because they want to please their parent. They don't want to get in trouble. And that type of teaching is very prevalent, whether overtly or covertly in a lot of churches where we just have this type of religion where I just don't want to get in trouble. I just want God to bless me. I just want to please God. And to me, living my life spiritually that way was very shallow. I'm not going to say it's wrong. It's not wrong to want to please God. But it wasn't everything that God was wanting for me. I, in a lot of ways, without even having the language, was sensing that God was calling me to more. Repentance isn't just a way for me to please God. Repentance was something that God is calling us to for alignment. And I say that a lot because it's so important. I truly believe alignment is the ultimate goal that we should all have. Our purpose is to be who we were created to be. How do we be that? We be that by being in alignment. But here's the thing. My alignment isn't your alignment and vice versa. The other thing that really resonated with me when I was doing this research is that repentance and the emphasis on turning really is more about turning towards something positive versus turning from something that's less desirable. It's been something that's on my heart, been on my heart a lot, in how a lot of what we preach is so focused on what not to do versus highlighting what it is that we should do. Even when you hear a lot of people talk about romantic relationships, they focus more on what they don't want. But if you were to ask them, what do you want? Oftentimes, they can't tell you. Because again, they're focusing more on the negative than the positive. And that leaves a lot to be desired because, okay, you know what you don't want, which is important. That's an important step. But again, it is very short-sighted. It's not everything. Because now you know what you don't want, but can you recognize what you do want if you don't know what those things are? You know you're supposed to turn away from doing this bad thing, this unhealthy thing. But when you turn, you still don't know what direction you're going in or what direction you're supposed to go in because you haven't spent any time being able to recognize and acknowledge and decide on what the positive course of action is supposed to be. In the Greek, when I looked up what repentance meant, there were two words that came up a lot. The first one meaning, and anyone who speaks Greek, I apologize if I butcher the pronunciation. The first one being metamelomai. To regret, to repent. Very similar to what we found in the Hebrew. And then the second one was metanoeo, to reconsider. Y'all don't laugh at me at how I'm pronouncing these words. I'm doing my best. But when I was looking at the word metanoeo, to reconsider, again, going back to the changing of one's mind or purpose, changing direction, course correcting. There were three consistent things that I kept finding about how to implement the concept of metanoeo in our lives. One, you first must get new knowledge. The Bible says that we are to renew our minds. You must get new knowledge. How do you do that? There are plenty of ways. Therapy is one of those ways for me. Reading, learning, exploring, expanding. And as I learn more and in therapy, learning new concepts, I'm able to, in a lot of ways, inspect choices, decisions, past experiences against this new knowledge to see how it holds up. Looking at my beliefs about myself, my values, which drive my actions and my thoughts, and realizing, oh, I got to go back to the core of who I am and what I believe about myself in this world and how I move and live and breathe in order to change my belief, which then affects my actions and my thought process and all of those things, and how it's truly a domino effect. We're not going to be able to get into apply true repentance in our lives using the same old knowledge that we've always had. It doesn't work. It, again, goes back to being a child. You're getting caught. Oh, mommy. Oh, daddy. Oh, auntie. Oh, grandma, grandpa. I'm sorry. I won't do that again. And maybe for a little while, that desire to please, that desire to not want to get caught or not be in trouble may work. Eventually, though, without new knowledge and even further understanding, they're either one of two things. Either going to get caught doing it again, or they're going to do it again and maybe they just got sneaky about it and somehow figured a way to do it without getting caught. Either way, they're still doing it. Either way, whatever the thing is, if you're telling them, hey, don't touch the oven, it's hot. And maybe when they touched it, it wasn't on, or you just turned it on, it wasn't hot yet. And they're like, okay, I won't do it again. And they do it again. Maybe you aren't around to catch it. And this time they touch it and they burn themselves. Unless there's something not clicking, 9 times out of 10, that new knowledge and understanding, oh, that's why they told me not to touch the oven, because I could get hurt. And I touched it and I did get hurt, and that's painful. So now I'm not going to do it. And unfortunately, a lot of us still carry that same perspective about experiences. It's like someone can tell you, hey, you shouldn't do this. This is likely going to hurt you. But it hasn't hurt you yet. And so maybe we think we're too highly of ourselves or whatever the case might be. We do it anyway. And then we go through the experience and be like, oh, that did hurt. Oh, let me not do that again. But even worse, there are plenty of things that we do and we continue to do, and it hurts us, and we continue to do it. The danger of that is that we have made those experiences normalized in our lives. We don't believe that we deserve better, that we can have better, that we don't have to experience this. This is just the way it is. This is just the way life is. We just accept it as normal, because we think we have to. So again, even in that situation, if that initial pain isn't enough to give you new knowledge, to change your course of direction, and to turn towards something that is healthy and positive and loving and all of those things, then what does it take to get that new knowledge? means that you have to learn something different and be able to understand that you deserve better. You can choose a better, more healthy course for your life. You think about addicts. I was just talking to a friend the other day about, you know, why people in the community will be like, you know, once an addict, always an addict. Even if they're not actively using. Because as I understand it, you know, there's a danger that if you get to the place where you're like, oh, I got it all figured out, that's when you become more susceptible to falling into either the same addiction or a new addiction. But it truly is an illness. And it's not even that they don't feel the pain and that oftentimes that they don't, that it's not that they don't want to change. It's that, and I won't speak for everyone, but dare I say that some of them, if not a good portion of them, don't believe that they deserve better, that they can do better, that they can change, that they can live happy, healthy lives, that whatever is plaguing them, whatever they're contending with, whatever they are using to get numb from, whatever it is that they are avoiding, that if they stop using, if they do whatever work it takes to stop actively using whatever their choice of drug is, and that's not even just narcotics, could be food, work, etc., etc., church, that the pain that they're running from won't stop, that the pain that they're running from will be so overwhelming that they would, trigger warning, might want to unalive themselves, that the using, whatever substance that they're using, is actually helping them to maintain, to be able to continue to exist, because they don't believe that they can without it. To some degree, that may not even be a top level of awareness that is in the front of their mind, but at somewhere in their consciousness, you know, that could be a belief that they have. And so for them to repent, they have to get new knowledge. Secondly, as we talked about before, regret. Regretting the previous course or displeasure with oneself or where they are in their life. Again, I think that we've honed on the regret and have missed other key components of repentance. Regret is still an important part of it. It's just not everything. And then, of course, once you have the new knowledge, new belief, and the regret has come in to say, hey, I regret that course of action. I regret that choice. I'm not pleased with where I am, what I've experienced. Then comes the change of action. And again, not to hyper-focus on the negative action, but to focus on the positive course of action. Where am I going? Where do I want to be? Who do I want to be? And how do I do those things? How do I be it? Whoever that is. And that's so key because, again, in the conversation about repentance, especially in Christian circles, we make it this one size fit all. where we're all supposed to repent of the same sins. We're supposed to be the exact same. And if this is something that I'm supposed to turn away from, then you're supposed to turn away from it as well. And yeah, I believe that there are certain things that can definitely be collective. That we can all agree that, and using my previous example of addiction, that is not healthy. And that we want to be there for those people and we want them to see that they can have a better life. And then there are other things that are just not so collective. And we judge people because that's not something that I can do. But clearly you can do it. And it's not having the same impact on you as it's had on me. And so I judge you for that because I envy your ability to live that way, to show up that way. And I don't understand why I can't. I don't understand what you've been through in order for you to be able to do that. I don't have the context of your experience, your situations that maybe have given you a freedom that I don't have right now, or maybe that I'll never have. We'd be so busy looking at other people, whether it's close relationships or just people that we are in community with to some level of extent, which is in some opinions, in some ways, almost more dangerous because, again, we don't have the benefit of knowing them truly there and being vulnerable, or them being vulnerable with us so that we know. And so we're judging and being envious, being jealous, and we truly have no real idea. We as Christians, we've taken, you know, the Great Commission and so many ways, even, you know, thinking about my grandfather who used to preach on corners and telling people to repent because they're sinning and this and the other. We really have taken it as like we have this moral obligation, this moral authority to go around and tell people what they should and should not be doing versus the Great Commission that I believe, which is to love. Love yourself, love God, love others, and let that be what draws people to Christ and to God. I promise you, that type of evangelism is so much more potent and powerful than us constantly criticizing and judging what other people are doing because we don't understand it, or we don't believe in it, or we can't do it, or whatever the case might be. Let's change our mindset. Let's get some new knowledge and repent from that. Let's repent from not loving ourselves and loving others. Truly. It'd be so, as a church, not the building, but as a church, you understand the revolution that would happen if we got that? Man, it'd be so beautiful. So if any of that resonated with you, if you learned something new, if this is something that you also believe or did research on, or any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, DM me on Instagram at win, lose, or draw. I want to hear from you. The first three people to DM me once they've listened to the podcast with some thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, anything that I shared will receive a special gift. But I have a gift for everyone listening. I am actually going to drop a bonus episode today. And I've gotten a lot of feedback that people are liking the affirmations. So I was going to do it attached to this episode, but I'm going to drop it as a separate episode so that you guys and gals and days can listen to the affirmations separately as often as you please. And we're going to focus on changing our mindset, new knowledge, and using affirmations as part of that practice. Write them down. Again, it'll be a separate bonus episode so you can listen to it as often as you desire. Wake up in the morning. You can listen to it while you drive, as long as you don't do it with your eyes closed. Listen to it as you sleep. However you need to use them as part of your daily practice as often as needed. And I hope that it will bless you as much as using affirmation in my daily practice and my spiritual practice has continued to bless me in this work of repenting. So I love you. Continue to shine. Be as radiant as the sun. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for all the love and support and shares. Been getting into this social media thing, having fun with reels. You know, I dropped my Fluently Black and English y Español line that has been receiving a lot of love. Thank you so much. Gonna continue doing more. And if you haven't already, make sure you go to the website, www.lucilenia.com. Order your shirts, sweatshirts, mugs. I even have stickers. They make great gifts. The holidays are coming up. And I keep hearing that stuff is going to get delayed the closer we get to the holidays. So if you want to get anything as a gift, get it now. They're shipping really, really fast. And again, thank you so much. I'm probably going to be doing only a couple more episodes, maybe one, not including the bonus episode, before the end of the year, and then highlighting some of my top listen to episodes as I take a break to rest, relax, and revamp for a season 2 launch at the top of 2022. Thank you so much for hanging with me and for being on this journey with me this year. It has been great. Look forward to hearing from you. And of course, make sure you check the bonus episode out as well.